Warning, this podcast discusses addiction, mental health, and other sensitive topics. Please listen with care and take a break if needed. You are not alone, and support is available.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Malfunction Junction. This is Andrew. Where's Jay? He's not here. He wasn't able to come in this week. He got called into work on the day that we were going to record, and that sucks. That sucks. But we're going to end up, we're going to go without him. We're just going to do this without him. Thankfully, I am very good at scrambling, very good at pivoting. And when I was told today at 2 p.m., we were set to record at 8 p.m., told today, Friday, which you will be hearing this Saturday and beyond, I was told Friday that we were going to need to figure out something else because Jay was not going to make it. Thought about doing a solo episode, thought about having a guest on, thought about a bunch of stuff, thought about just not doing an episode, but I'm not going to do that to you guys because it's important that we do this consistently. So, I scrambled hard for y'all. I figured something out. And this is it for you guys. We will be doing our second trauma battle episode here. Delano versus Zach. It was a heated battle. A lot went on. There was a lot shared. But there was a winner. A victor. A champion, if you will. Due to the fact that Zach is located in Texas and we are located in Colorado, we had to have him call in. Now, I was missing a piece that I needed, equipment-wise, to make that easy. So I chose the exact hardest route to do that, which is why the audio is, it's okay. It's honestly better than I thought it would be. We did like a Google Voice call, and then so I could recorded it, and then I wasn't able to transfer the audio file to my computer. It just, whatever reason, wouldn't work. Probably too large of a file. And so I set it up next to a microphone. I just put the phone on loud with the audio out next to a microphone and recorded it directly into that. So if it sounds like it's recorded directly into a microphone, that's because it is. We will continue with our regularly scheduled content next week, next Saturday. That would be the 17th of May. As far as it goes for this episode, though, I do want to give a second trigger warning. I know. How bad could it be? Pretty bad. It's great for the content aspect of stuff, but it was extremely heavy. Anybody with sexual assault trauma may want to avoid the final 15 minutes or so. Maybe even 20. I'm not positive how far I went back. But yeah, there is a certain point where you may want to stop listening. And I understand there's a lot of heavy stuff going on in the last 15 minutes of the show. But if you got the gumption, if you got the guts, this one's a good one for you. So anyway, we're going to get into that content. Entering now, Trauma Battle number 2, Delano versus Zach. Hello, everybody. This is Andrew. I am here with Delano and Zach. We are doing Trauma Battle episode 2. Boys, you can go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Zach. I've been friends with Andrew for, 4 or 5 years now?
Something like that, yeah.
If you listen to the last pre-2020. Episode, I was actually friends with him about the time he got stabbed in the face down here.
Yeah, right. Pre-2020 for sure.
So I'm ready to get started and put my trauma up and out on the line and hope I come on top with traumatized.
Right,
we'll see. I've got some good ones in my bag too. Hi everybody, I'm Delano. I've known Andrew for going on 2 years now.
Something like that, yeah.
I'm ready to kick this thing off.
Cool. Well, right on. Well, let's go ahead and do that then.
Oh, my dog is whining in the corner. Amy! We'll figure that out. Alright, I'm going to go ahead and do a coin toss here. So with this coin toss, we'll start out with the rules of the game. The rules of the game here are, this is trauma battle. So you want to have, there are a list of things that can be counted as points. And by the way, this is an ever-growing list. If you come up with something that is not on our list, but still is something that counts, you know, we can come up with some points for it on the spot. The way it's going to work is there's a range of points between each category, meaning it's on a scale of five meaning worst, one meaning least, and it's on a scale of something like 1 to 3 or 2, 3 to 5, something like that. And I am supposed to judge it based on how bad I think it is, trying to give it the least amount of points, and your job is to try to argue for the most amount of points. So you do get a chance to argue your own thing. So if I got stabbed in the face, I would, you know, if I was like, that's worth 4 points, and you, or that's worth 5 points, and you were like, I think it's worth 4, then I'd have to argue for why it's worth 5, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
And the way we'll do this here is we will start out. There are 5 rounds. Did you bring 3 or 5?
I brought 3.
We can do 3. Zach, are you prepared to do 3?
I am more than prepared to do 3. I actually brought for 7.
Oh, geez. Perfect. Well, let's go ahead and do 3. And we will see where this goes. So the way it's going to work is we'll go ahead and do a coin toss. I have my Zen container. My metal Zen container. And by the way, I chew Alps. Alps are better. I'm going to flip this metal Zen container. Heads is the openings for the spitter.
Yeah.
And the backside is not. So I'm going to go ahead and, given that Delano is here in person, we'll give him home team advantage. So we'll give him the away team usually gets the coin toss in the air, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zach would know that too, right?
Yes.
Cool. So Zach, you are going to call the coin toss in the air. And go ahead and call it now. Heads or tails?
Tails.
Cool. It was heads. I'm sorry, Zach. But so what that means is that Delano gets to choose here whether he goes first or second on the first one, which will let then alternate to Zach goes first or second, whatever Delano did not choose on the second one. And then the third one will go back to Delano. So you can, there is kind of a strategy there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to start first. I'm going to start on my lowest totem pole. Is that how it's?
Well, it's part of the game is where, okay, it's like, you know, it's if you start and you go your best one, then Zach can go with his best one, or if you start with your lowest one, he can also go with his best one, or you know what I mean, like, it's kind of strategic.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So my first one is I was in a car accident, and for all of you viewers, I like Volkswagens, and I had a really nice Volkswagen Bug, and I was driving in the left lane in a 3-lane road, and a guy made an illegal left-hand turn out of a Conoco, and I hit him going like 45 miles an hour.
Jeez.
And destroyed my car. I wasn't able to get into a vehicle for quite some time without just having horrific panic attacks, and it was pretty brutal. My ex-girlfriend at the time was in the car, and she was a rather large woman, and she hit the dash, and the force of both of us twisted the dash.
Oh my God.
My impact pushed my side of the dash top side forward. She hit the bottom of the dash and pushed it down, and yeah, totaled my 67 Volkswagen Bug.
Damn, dude. That's pretty gnarly. So That's Zach, how do you want to respond to that? We're going to give points at the end of the round. And we do have points, like I said, pre-arranged. So it's not just like a random points that way there's no favorites being played. There are points pre-assembled, and you can argue for the points, like I mentioned.
Can I add, like, not only just the trauma, but, like, the physical things that happened to me?
Yes, that is part of it.
Okay, so...
And I guess I'll go ahead and give, with each of these, I'll give the points, the points range, and okay. Then we'll do the argument after that.
Cool, cool.
So a bad car accident is 3 to 4 points.
Okay.
Yeah. And okay. If anything else that there could come with it?
Yeah. So I tore the tendons in my left shoulder. I was rushed to the hospital. I also hit the steering wheel. For anybody that doesn't know, Volkswagen stock steering wheels are a metal frame with like a hard plastic around the edge. And I hit the steering wheel with my chin and broke the steering wheel in half. And the piece of metal that came out went straight through my mouth. Mm. And I had a hole in my lip for quite some time. Jeez. That I could actually spit through.
Jeez.
So, yeah, they wanted me to do surgery on my shoulder and I fought against it forever. I've heard horror stories of how badly that can go. Man, so I went through an extensive part of physical therapy to get my shoulder back, but I don't have full range back completely in it. And I never will.
Did you go to the hospital for that?
I did. I went directly to the hospital.
How long did you stay in the hospital?
Overnight.
Overnight? Okay.
Yeah.
And
I was out of work for like 2 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, we so far right now what we're looking at is and the out-of-work one is one we did not consider. That is a – because what we have here is extended hospitalization, but being injured and being out of work for an extended period of time is a traumatic event to one's life. Maybe not like a lasting like mental one, but definitely one that causes a lot of stress.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
So, out of work for injury, I'm thinking that's between 2 and 4 points, because that it depends on how long it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You said you're out of work for 2 months.
2 months, yep.
2 months. I mean, I'd be willing to put that on the higher end, especially after the story I just heard from one of my coworkers today.
Yeah, well, you remember that this is not. We don't want to out your coworker.
I'm not going into any more than that. But
cool, yeah, okay. Well, Zach, that is your so the out of work injured 2 to 4 points. We've got the bad car accident 3 to 4 points.
I put that closer to 3 than 2 for sure.
Yeah, and then
and so am I fighting for my own points?
You're fighting for your own points.
Yeah, that's kind of honestly where I was falling. There for that one, it was 3 points.
Okay.
So
yeah, so right now, and the bad car accident, I'm going 4 points on that. Well, I mean, the only thing is that nobody died, did they?
Nobody died, but you know.
See, I think I'm thinking now that the bad car accident should be 3 to 5 points, and that this should be a 4. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so then if there's a death, then it's a full 5.
Yeah, a death on either end of it would be.
There's a few other details that I didn't seem to mention.
Sure.
My girlfriend at the time hit the windshield with her forehead and pushed the windshield out of the car. I know that's not my trauma, but seeing that
is a trauma though.
Yeah.
That is a trauma.
She was a very kind person before the accident, and afterwards she became such a cruel, cruel individual. I will not name names, but yeah, she has traumatic, a brain injury because of it.
Yeah, I would imagine.
She hit the windshield so hard that it actually bounced off of the other car and went skidding across two lanes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. And it was very horrific to witness all of that, especially because I was in such shock and watching the driver try to take off. He was like trying to start his car, and you could see the passenger in his car like hitting him, like trying to get him to stop.
Right. Yeah.
And eventually he gave up, I got out of the car and I couldn't get her door open at first.
Right.
I had to put both of my feet on the side of the car and yank with all of my force. My God. They also think that that's part of why my shoulder was as bad as it was, because I was giving it everything that I could to get her
probably,
out.
Probably, yeah.
And then just seeing the blood and everything like that, it was brutal. Glass was everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then actually, that is the reason that it destroyed mine and her relationship, is because, it was so hard for me to get over how cruel of a person she had become. She was a very sweet person long before that,
I'd imagine.
And it's, yeah, it
does suck.
Changed her forever. And watching that was brutal.
So I would be willing to put that under the, what do we have here? We had the loved one die in an accident one somewhere. I'd be willing to give that a low point, a low practice on that one, because it's not. She didn't actually die.
No.
So I'd be. So the, where I'm looking
I would
at,
I agree with that, because like the person she was.
Right. Absolutely.
Died. That person absolutely. Did die. Yes, yeah.
That person did die.
Very, very solid point.
Yeah. Didn't physically die, but I think
I need
the
to
death
be arguing
person.
For my points over here, but.
Yeah. Okay. Well, at the moment, we're looking at a possibility of up to, it looks like it's 3 to 5 points, and we've got out of work injured 2 to 4 points, and then I'll go ahead and just give the 1 point there for the almost death of the person in the relationship, loved one.
Yeah.
And so we've got a max here of 10 points. And a low here of 2 plus 3, so a low of 6 points, so 6 to 10 points here for that one. And that leaves Zach, that is your turn to respond.
Yeah, so I mean, the short of it is I was held at gunpoint by the police in front of my house because I had an idiot roommate. The main trauma that comes from this is, and Andrew, I'm sure you've one both been the cause for and probably seen my reaction to it, but people knock on my door and I kind of just shut down.
Yeah.
And basically what had happened is I was asleep. It was like 10 a.m. on a brisk January morning. And I hear this pounding on my front door. I go to go look out the peephole. I don't see anything. I start heading back to my room. Happens like 2 or 3 more times. And by the third time looking through, not seeing anybody, I'm like, what's going on out here? And I open up the front door, and I'm greeted with a pistol in my face. And all I see is the door get swung open, hand pulls me out, throws me on the wall. Now I look down off the corner of my house. I've got one officer over there with a assault rifle pointed right at me. I've got another one pushing me up on the wall, you know, spreading my legs, getting my arms up on the wall so they can start patting me down with a pistol at the back of my head. I got another cop standing just off by the doorway asking, which room is Alex in? Or are you Alex? I'm like, no, I'm not so-and-so. Name's changed, of course. And I'm like, no, I'm not so-and-so, but he's in the bathroom over there. And they're like, well, which room's the bathroom? I was like, I don't know, officer, investigate, but it's probably the room with the shower running. That's just me. And so they go in, of course, find him, drag him out. I'm sitting there in shorts, and that's it, in 20-degree weather.
Oh, geez.
In the front of my house, looking like, you know, worst of the worst criminals. Turns out my roommate at the time got into an argument with his parents that morning and offhandedly mentioned that he'd had a gun. Mistook that as him being suicidal, called the police, and they showed up ready to go to war. And so, yeah, I mean, to this day, anytime someone knocks on my door, I just immediately just shut down, kind of panic, like, what's on the other side? Who's got a gun ready to point it at me again?
Yeah, that's fair. I understand where.
Yeah.
That could bring trauma for sure.
That's gnarly. To give where you fit in on our trauma bingo here, trauma battle here, points. We have police episode, really, is the only thing we could come up with, like, title-wise of that, just because there's so much that could go on.
Yeah.
And that's between 2 to 5 points. So a wide range there, because so much can go on with that. Incarcerated is a whole other separate thing. That didn't happen, obviously, in this thing, but that's one of those things where...
I was never in handcuffs.
Right, yeah, that's not what we're going with here, but if someone were to have a police incident where they, like...
I cannot leave the front porch. Couldn't even go inside to go get a coat and my cigarette so I could try to calm down.
Hmm.
Like, I had to stay right in that one spot. Yeah. So, I wasn't detained, per se, but I wasn't not detained.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I think we're going to go with... we'll go with the 2 to 5 points for the police episode here. And then also we've got another one. It's something about anything involving a gun. And it's like 1 to 5 points. So you have a max of 10 here, but like a low of 3.
Including an assault rifle on that one.
Okay, so 1 to 5 points on that one. Your argument there is going to be... Well, we'll get to the scores here. Let me think about this. See, the good thing about this game is that it's so new that we can kind of make up the rules as we go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's nice as long as everybody gets the same rules. So I had anything with a gun, like a negative interaction with a gun. That's because it could be so wide, and also police episodes. So you have two wide ranges. You could max a low of 3, and a high of 10. So I think Delano, personally, I'm gonna go with yours as first. We had a bad car accident. I think we had a 3 to 5 is what I had changed that to, 3 to 5 points. And I think we're gonna go with a 4 there, on the bad car accident. And then we're gonna go over here, down to out of work injured. And I was thinking, you know, it wasn't longer than 6 months.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that's a 3. Because that's long enough to where you're like, I'm not going to be able to fucking work.
Yeah.
And long enough, like...
Not only I'm not paying bills.
Not going to be able to pay bills. Yeah. I'm going to have to, like, have all these conversations with people, like, landlords, anything.
Oh, yeah.
So a 3 there. And okay. Then we had the 1 extra. So right now we've got you at an 8 there.
Okay.
Do you have an argument against that?
No. I agree. I agree with those points. I think, you know, I didn't start with my heavy hitter to begin with, so... Sure. I think those are pretty fair points for that being my least heavy.
Okay. 8 points.
What is Zach at?
Zach right now is, I mean, his max here is going to be the 10, and the low point is going to be that 3. So we'll see what this goes. I'm going to real quick look again at this. So I think the police, the overreaction by the police, this one doesn't necessarily... I think the situation as a whole, you got to take into account that they were responding. Sure. They were responding to a shitty fucking thing.
Yeah.
Like regardless of like. All right, everybody. I'm sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties there. We were in the middle of grading Zach's trauma here, and we had his police episode, which. I was just getting into explaining why it is a shitty reason for the police to be there, number one.
Yeah.
it like a suicide, even if like, especially like guns are drawn.
Yeah,
dude, if that were me, if I were fucking being pulled out of my house for like back one of my suicidal days, and they had just come out guns ablazing, I'd have just fucking said fuck it and run at the people. Said, oh yeah, I'll just go suicide by cop. Like that's like,
oh, yeah.
You know, and then that could have ensued in a bunch of worst other shit. So it's like, you know, that's crazy shit. So I'm willing to give that one is between 2 to 5 points. I'm willing to give that a 3 on that. And then we've got the gun related, which is you had a gun pointed at the back of your head. That is not good. It's not being shot, which would be its own whole separate thing. But it's also, and it's not like seeing someone get shot, which would also be its own separate thing. But it is like, I don't know if I'm going to be alive here in a second. I don't know this is a shitty fucking situation to be in.
Yeah.
So I am also.
Itchy finger away.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm also willing to give that one a 3. So right now we're at 6 points. What do you think about that score?
I mean, do we have any points for long-term trauma?
Well, how did it affect you?
I mean, I still shut down anytime someone knocks on my door. It's something, I mean, I don't know. Some days are better than others, especially like if I know it's coming, then
sure.
It's less of a thing. But if I'm just sitting there and somebody just starts knocking, it's like an immediate like panic, cold sweat sets in.
So, you know, with us, when I did mine, gave me the extra point for something that wasn't there. I would honestly agree to give an extra point for that.
Okay.
What do you think, Zach?
That's fair to me, honestly, just based off the score I had here written down. I mean, that would be right in line with what I have here.
Okay. Well, yeah. In that case, we will go 7 there. So it is still 8-7 on round 1. That does go to Delano. But, Zach, that does mean that you begin with round 2. So.
It does, and I am really wrestling with which one to play, and I think I'm going to go with surviving the Austin Freeze.
Okay.
Now, I had another natural disaster. I rode out a hurricane in a past life, but that was a little different. And the Austin Freeze, like, it was a full-on mind frame change. And so, for anyone who's not aware, there was about a week where we lost all power, water, everything, because of an ice storm here in Texas. Living here in Austin, you know, we weren't prepared for it. I remember the day of when power went out, Andrew actually came knocking on my door that day.
That is true. with a jar full of mushrooms, if I remember correctly.
We had a real fun day that day.
Yeah,
I thought it was just going to be a quick little event, and hey, we're back to life after this. Get a little snow day. Yeah, that wasn't the case. We ended up like I had just gotten a new puppy. I had 2 cats. I had to sit there and tough it out. Luckily, being from Michigan, I had a lot of blankets and cold weather gear I could you know throw on. But I'm sitting there just to stay warm under 3 blankets, you know, sweatshirt, sweatpants, long johns on, beanie, coat on top, whole thing. 2 cats and a dog sitting on top of me, all just, you know, huddling to stay warm. But where this one really set in was the basically the survival. It turned into just survival mode. I mean, Andrew, I'm sure you remember there was times
yeah, that was pretty gnarly.
There trading, you know, cigarettes for food.
Yeah, no, yeah, and
it almost felt like for about a week there, society just broke down.
Yeah.
I remember there was one day I was, you know, walking my dog and I saw a deer walking in the little green belt behind my apartment. The only thought going through my head is, well, I could shoot it and build a fire right here and I got dinner. And that's where I was at. I mean, it took, I would say, I mean, a solid 2 weeks to come out of that just straight survival mode instincts that came about, because I mean, we had to figure out how to survive just to get by on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a gnarly time. That was a really scary time, because we didn't know how long it was gonna last. It was like one of those things where it was.
God bless our friend Malik for having power. R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. We've talked about Malik before on the show, and a good buddy of mine from back in Austin. He unfortunately passed 2 years ago. But
rest in peace.
Yeah, R.I.P. buddy. So at the moment, there is only one category for that, and that is living through a natural disaster. And that is 2 to 5 points. And I am giving, at the moment, leaning closer to a 4 on that, given that there was no real, like, full-on repercussions of that ever. Like, it's not like a hurricane where it cost millions of dollars. So that's where I'm leaning towards right now. And we'll give you some time to come up with an argument. Delano, it is your turn to come back with yours. You have your round 2.
Okay. My round 2 is, I was having severe pains in my stomach for a little bit of time, and over the course of about a month, I was having a hard time using the restroom. I'm a 2-3 times a day type of shitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it went from that to like every 4 days, maybe I'd get one halfway decent shit out, and I started seeing blood in my stool.
Oh, geez.
And so I was planning a trip with my girlfriend to take her to Hawaii. Shout out to my girlfriend, Cody. Love you.
Shout out, Cody.
Yeah, we were going out there for her birthday, and the day before I had to work. And I was having such bad, severe stomach pains that I was getting so dizzy that I thought I was going to pass out.
Uh-huh.
So my boss told me to go and lay down on the couch in our basement at work. And it had gotten so bad to where he told me that I ended up needing to just go home. Uh-huh. And I was concerned with going on a huge trip for a week, you know, in Maui. And
right, yeah.
So I told myself, you know, if I'm feeling like this in the morning, then I won't go. You know, but that's
easier said than done.
Yeah. And that's not even where, this is just the tip of the iceberg for the story. Yeah. So, I was able to end up passing some gas, at about 7 o'clock, and I felt great.
Right.
But, you know, it was back to normal. I woke up the next morning, felt good. So I got on the flight, and my layover flight was in Las Vegas. And when I got to Vegas, I ate some food, and the pain had come back like tenfold.
Right. Yeah.
So much to where I was like hunched over and like holding my gut. And I decided, you know what? Fuck it. I'm already halfway there. We're making it to Maui. I don't care if I fucking die in Maui.
That's
and
it
was like, if
thought.
I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die in paradise.
That's
so,
a fair thought, yeah.
Right, and so the pain had gotten so excruciating on the plane that I had told my girlfriend that I have to go to the ER as soon as we get off this plane. Like, it's unbearable.
Right.
So we go from the airport to the hospital, and they do a CT scan on my stomach.
Oh boy.
And they find a tumor the size of a Coca-Cola can in my lower descending colon.
Jeez.
And they were like, we don't know what the hell it is. It could potentially be cancerous. And then I explained that my mother had colon cancer. And they're like, well, if with that being the case, more than likely it's going to be colon cancer. They said, we need to do a biopsy, so we're going to hold you overnight and we're gonna do the biopsy. And I was so backed up that they could not do the biopsy right away, so they
that's crazy.
Yeah, they had to do an enema and clear out that portion
yeah,
and do a partial colonoscopy. I don't remember what the exact name is, but it's only the portion up to the obstruction. So right. They did the biopsy, and it did come back cancerous. So I had colon cancer. And so I was terrified, you know, I was worried like, fuck, this could be it, you know,
yeah.
Especially being 28 years old.
Right. Yeah.
That's a yeah. horrific thing at any age to find out, let alone
yeah.
being in your 20s.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I asked the doctor, I'm like, look, do I need to get on a flight and go straight home? And they're like, no, you need to, enjoy your vacation. You need to stay on this food restriction diet and enjoy your vacation. You know, and mind you that I didn't find out that I had cancer right away. I found out after I had gotten out of the hospital. So there were 5 days from finding out that I had, or I'm sorry, 4 days from finding out that I have a tumor to finding out that I had cancer. So that entire time I was like stressing the fuck out.
Yeah.
Trying to enjoy my vacation.
Yeah, no.
And
yeah.
The terrifying feeling of,
I remember I yeah. hit up Cody while you guys were there, and yeah. I was like, "How's he doing?"
Yeah,
and she was like, "I forget exactly what she said, but it was something along the lines of like we're doing as best we can."
Yeah, yeah, like, exactly. Just trying to enjoy the
yeah.
vacation,
yeah.
And you know, I felt terrible because I felt like I ruined her birthday vacation,
sure.
And so. Monday morning, they call me just before we're about to go on our adventures for the day, and they tell me that I have colon cancer, and it kind of ruined our day.
Well, no shit.
Yeah.
and fucking most obvious statement ever.
Yeah.
It ruined our day, actually. Here. Yeah. Yeah. There's a dangerous
illness.
You
ready to go have fun now?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly, Zach. Exactly. And so, and this, once again, is not even the tip of the iceberg. So I get back home, being as that my mother had colon cancer as well, my dad still had all the information for the same surgeon that she used to remove her tumor, and he got all the doctor's appointments set up, and there was about a few days, I don't remember if it was a full week period before I actually was in for surgery,
mm-hmm.
But then I had to go on a water diet, and
oh boy, that's rough.
You know, me weighing, you know, at my best 140 pounds.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
it's hard. It's hard to do that.
Yeah.
And so I had to prep for the surgery. And, you know, I was in such excruciating pain the day before my surgery. So much pain to where I wasn't shitting at all anymore.
Jeez.
And that's so crazy. So much to where I actually threw up shit.
That's
my stomach was backed up so far that it had nowhere to go but out the same way that it came in.
That's fucking crazy.
It's the most horrific thing that I've experienced, like puking. We've all puked.
Yeah.
We've all drank. We've all puked our brains out. But puking shit is
that's
horrifying.
That's a new category.
Yeah. Yeah, it
that,
was.
That might be. That might even. That might be a point or two. I don't even know.
Yeah,
this is one of those moments. I wish Jay were here to help me fucking decide on that one. Holy shit! All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I was so backed up that they rushed me to the hospital. Obviously, puking shit. They're like, my parents are like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And my girlfriend's awful. Freaking out. I'm freaking out, and I continued to puke. A few more times, especially on the way in the car, I got car sick and puked more.
No, no.
And so they admitted me to the hospital, and the surgeon came in and is like, well, we're not doing surgery tomorrow. There's no way that we can do it with all of that backed up.
Right.
So they had to insert a stent into my fucking ass and release all of the shit. And so...
That's insane.
That was like 3 days of...
That's so crazy.
Yeah. They
That's so crazy.
Got it all out.
Yeah,
and
good.
3 days later, 2 days, 3 days, I think it was 3 days later, they're like, all right, we're ready to do surgery. And so, mind you, I've been in the hospital a few days and already on a water diet, and they kept me on a water diet, and I'm losing weight like fucking nobody's business.
Right,
it's
yeah.
brutal. And... I'll tell you what, I never want to fucking eat Jell-O again.
No, I bet not.
Fuck
I bet not.
That.
Fuck Jell-O, dude.
Especially hospital jello. It always sucks.
Right? It's never good. They never have apple.
No, they don't. It's always like that cherry, shitty cherry.
Yeah, it's, dude. Yeah. It sucks.
It's that red shit. And the,
So they removed the tumor, but along with them removing the tumor was wrapped around my ureter from my left kidney to my bladder. And they tore the ureter on the kidney side and had no material to reattach the ureter to my kidneys. So they, you know, freaking out, I'm sure, in the surgery room, and they decided to cut my left kidney out as well. And so, so I woke up, you know, out of surgery, and, you know, everyone's, hi, you know, glad to see you awake. And my dad was like, yeah, hey, by the way, they took your fucking kidney out. And I'm all drugged up, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, at least I can
live with one kidney. Damn it. They took my fucking kidney.
No, I didn't even react that at first.
That's the Charlie the Unicorn fucking reference.
Oh, really?
Do you remember that video from back in that old YouTube video?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
It's like, ah, god damn it, they took my fucking kidney.
So it finally hit me the day after. And, dude, I started panicking.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, can I survive this way? And, you know, and the doctors were trying to convince me, like, you're fine. Like, you can live on one kidney. I'm like, who fucked up? Like, what happened? And so they, you know, they heal me up and I stay in the hospital. I don't remember how many days after the surgery. I want to say 3 or 4 days.
Okay.
It was all a very big blur. They were, had me on every opiate that you could think of.
Yeah.
You know, and then some.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, and me and opiates don't get along. I was having like terrible nightmares along with like huge puddles of sweat.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would have a conversation like this and then 5 minutes later I would completely forget it.
Yeah, sure. I can relate to that.
Yeah, that's, as you know, Andrew, it's not a fun feeling.
No.
You know? And so they released me and for a total of 8 weeks, they told me I couldn't lift above 10 pounds. And later finding out after, you know, being able to go back to work and stuff, that they wanted to do blood work on me to find out if I have more cancer. So they found out in recent studies that cancer leaves a DNA in your blood. They test that blood. If it comes back positive, then you potentially have more cancer that they don't know about.
Sure. Well, that's at least a helpful thing to know.
Right?
Because that probably negates the idea of it like coming back later.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other test that they did with testing my blood. So they think that I may have a rare disease that causes rapid growing cancer.
Jesus Christ.
So that's the other blood work. And mind you guys, I'm still battling this. Like, I get the information. So I actually got the phone call today, and they told me that they want me to come in they can give me my diagnosis on the blood work. And that's not a good sign. You know, when they don't want to tell you what your results are over the phone, that's pretty brutal. So I am still dealing with this issue. This is still an ongoing thing. And their concern is that because they took the tumor out, you know, your body's producing these cancer cells.
Right.
And when they cut it out of you, your body is still wanting to produce those cancer cells. So they're worried that other cancers are being formed. Yeah.
Jeez.
And so, I have to go Monday and get the results from that. So.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Good luck with that one.
That's my trauma number two.
All right. Well, let's read what we got here in terms of points.
I mean, fair to say he wins that one?
I think he does win that one, but we might as well see if he wins the all-time round record. Because right now, that one's 15 points.
Three rounds instead of five, he still takes it with that one.
Yeah.
And that's not even, in my opinion, the heaviest hitter.
Jeez.
I've got one more that is still pretty hefty. I can't wait to share it with all you guys.
Hell yeah. So we got right now, we got diagnosed with a serious illness, 3 to 5 points.
Extended hospitalization, 1 to 4 points. Medical malpractice, 2 to 4 points.
Yeah, and that's kind of the other thing. I don't want to speak too far into the malpractice, but I'm pretty sure that I have a lawsuit on my hands.
Almost definitely do.
Yeah, I'll leave that one.
Yeah, I would say not comment on that. But yeah. And I'm willing to also give you a point for over-medicated.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by far.
So right now we've got diagnosed with a serious illness. I'm going to give you 4 points because you did not die from it yet. Yeah, if you die from it, we'll change.
Yeah.
You get 1 point.
So 4 points there. Medical malpractice, that's like the definition of medical malpractice. I think I'm willing to give you the max points on that one.
Well, and not only that, but they also nicked my kidney or my spleen, and I had to go back to the hospital a week after being released because of stomach pain again.
That's crazy.
And the doctor was so nonchalant and was like, it's just because I nicked your spleen. Sorry about that. We're going to give you more drugs. Here you go. Go home.
Okay.
Jeez. So, yeah,
we kind of hoped you wouldn't notice.
You also, I forget this one, out of work injured. You qualify for that one too.
Yeah. So I've been out of work almost 3 months.
Yeah. So again, with probably 3 points there not being 6 months or more, but still so 3 points there. We got 4 points for medical malpractice. That's 7. We got 4 points for a diagnosis of a serious illness. That's 11. Extended hospitalization, it wasn't that long.
So it was 3 days in Hawaii.
Okay.
It was a week and a half here. And then I had to go back to the hospital. They didn't keep me, but does that count?
I think that's probably a 2.1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 2 point extended hospitalization, that's 13. And then we had the last one here of over-medicated with 1. That is a 14.1. You just were below the all-time record.
Wow.
So that is pretty crazy. That's a gnarly story. We got 14 points, and that round 2 goes to Delano again. Round 3, Delano, you can have
there,
the choice.
Is there any, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on this one. Is there any point there for currently ongoing?
I guess you could kind of say because yours was kind of ongoing too for every time that they knock on your door. So if I'm going to get that point, I think that you deserve it as well. Just to make this game as fair as possible.
I think that was for the first one, wasn't it? It's just round by round.
Oh.
Yes. So it's a 14 point against a 4 point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And round 3 here, we'll go ahead and go into round 3 here. And we'll get you out of here, guys, shortly. Hopefully we won't take too much longer, but trauma's trauma.
Yeah.
It's fun to talk about.
Yep.
So, Delano, you can go first here. It's up to you.
I'll let him go first because I've been doing a lot of talking. I want to hear what Zach has to say.
Cool. Well, let's go. Zach, you are going to go first for round 3.
At this point, I'm not – sure, I got a couple here I could play, but
I'd say
I'm just gonna go with
play a heavy hitter, man. That. I'd say play a heavy hitter.
You know, based off what I'm hearing, this is honestly probably, and this one I will say is currently ongoing. So Andrew, you know where I'm going with this one.
Okay. I think I do.
I'm currently dealing with a divorce for a cheating wife.
Ah, yeah.
Yep.
We'll throw that one out there.
We've all been on that shit end of the stick there. Sorry to hear that, my friend.
I was like, well, if I got to follow up, I've got cancer. I might as well go with this one.
Yeah.
So basically, we've been friends for, at this point, like 12 years now. But we were good friends for like 8-10 years when we ended up getting together. I just went from what started off as just, a random hookup, hey, let's get together, to turned into a whirlwind experience. Next thing I know, 2.5 years later, we're getting engaged and getting married.
Yeah.
Went through, a lot of stuff in the interim. Unfortunately, those aren't my stories to tell, but a lot of trauma in the midst of the whole thing. But yeah, so we get married.
Can I say one thing about it?
Over a year ago.
Can I say one thing about it? That
March of 24. She ends up tearing her ACL at our wedding.
That's what I was going to say.
We partied a little too hard that weekend.
She tore her ACL, you said?
She tore her ACL at our wedding.
Wow.
Yeah.
We don't find out anything until after the honeymoon because we get married on a Saturday. On Sunday, we have to pack up everything because we got to stay on site. We packed up everything, got back to the house, kind of just kept her knee rested, like, all right, we'll see what's up. The next day, we board a flight to go to Jamaica, which, let me tell you, best service you'll ever get in an airport is show up with some crutches. You get service right to the gate.
Wow. That's good to know. I should leave on a flight soon. My girlfriend's on crutches right now.
We get back. She has massive knee surgery because she dislocated her knee and tore ACL and something else. Ended up having to have like another ligament grafted from a donor. Just to, you know, make sure she doesn't dislocate her knee ever again.
Yeah.
Go through all that rehab. I'm there by her side, you know, helping with everything. And then right before we got engaged, we found out, you know, her dog of 12 years had cancer. We were given a diagnosis based off the course of treatment we chose, which was just steroids of, you know, about 4 to 5 months. That dog held on for another 18 afterwards. Was sitting there, you know, I was the one, when the day we had to put him down, I had to call her, like, hey, you need to get home from work, like, today's the day.
Oh,
I sit there, we do, like, an in-home service, have our poor pup put down. I'm the one that, you know, even carries this dog down to the car to have him taken away, because she couldn't do it. Right. I'm sitting there, everything that's going on, I'm right there by her side. Turns out about 4 months after we got married, she met somebody up at her job and started hooking up with him.
Oh my God.
I find all this out on Thanksgiving.
Well, I don't find out that
it's ongoing. I just, on Thanksgiving, she tells me she thinks she wants to get a divorce.
Holy fuck.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Yeah. Thanks for giving me a cheating wife.
Yeah. And so through the course of the conversation, found out I asked the wrong question, but I asked, you know, have you slept with anybody? And she answered truthfully and said yes. When it turns out the question I need to ask was, are you?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and so she answered that and didn't expand on it. So I was like, hey, you know what? We can try to work through this. Let's, you know, everything was great. There's a lot that's gone on. Let's try to put this back together. Fast forward a month to Christmas Day. Merry Christmas, y'all. She comes back and goes, no, I'm pretty sure I want to get divorced.
Holy shit. So you had to hear that news twice.
I get to hear that news twice. And it's not until New Year's Eve, going to New Year's, that I find out it is still currently ongoing, and yes, we are getting divorced.
Jeez.
But with the good news, I am free of her, don't need that in our lives, and getting ready for some big changes. And, you know, all we got to do at this point is have the judge sign off on the divorce, and it is done.
Nice. Congrats. That'll be a good day.
That'll be a good day, Zach.
Can't wait for that day.
We didn't have a category for that, so we're going to have to make a category for that one.
Yeah, let's do it.
And I think there is two categories here. That it can play here, and that would be personal divorce as well as cheating spouse.
Oh, yeah,
I think
for
that's
sure.
That, because, like, you could go through a divorce and not be because of that. There's two separate traumas there.
For sure. Oh, 100%.
So those are the personal divorce we have down for 3 to 5 points. I think that we can't account for the cheating reason, given that, and you have to just talk about the divorce as it is. Like, did you you know, are you going to lose a bunch of money in it? That would be like a 5-point divorce, right? But if it's like, you know, but like, I think that because it's a separate category on cheating spouse, you can't account for the cheating spouse in the divorce for the points.
And as much as I want to argue for points, I mean, technically, while we're still married, it's been barely a year.
True.
Yeah.
So I think divorce, given that it was early in your relationship still, I think it's going to be a 3-point divorce. But I think that it was the fact that you had to hear it twice and it was on holidays. I'm going to give 1 point each for those. So that's
a total of 5 there.
Total of 5 there for the divorce.
Okay.
And then for cheating spouse, I think since it was like, that's like the textbook scenario you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
So I think I'm willing to give 4 points on that and hear an argument for having it be a 5th. What do you think, Zach?
Zach, are you still there?
Yeah, no, I'm still here. I'm trying to
process all of it.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how I would justify like an extra point to that.
Okay. Because right now you're at 9.
I don't know if I have one. I would agree with it being on a 4-point scale there, because it's from experience, it is the last thing that you want to hear.
Right. Yeah.
It would probably be easier to justify a score if it was years in the past and I know how I come back from that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably true. Yeah.
Two totally different ways this could go, which would determine which point would swing.
Yeah, I think it's probably a 9 there.
Yeah.
4-point divorce and then 5 total points for the or 5-point divorce and 4 total, well, you know what I mean? 9 points.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go on. Delano, let's hit your last one.
Okay.
If you want, and then we'll get you guys on out of here.
Cool. So my, how do I start this? At the amazing age of 8 years old, I was raped by my neighbor.
Jeez.
And
this is the exact same thing that happened in our last battle with me and Jay.
Oh, really?
He puts down his dad killed himself, and I was incarcerated in a mental institution against my will, and he was like, "Fuck!" Like,
yeah. So
that was a wild ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah, it started out very simple. So at a young age, my dad got us into riding dirt bikes, and we were on the inside corner house of a turn, and they were on the outside corner, and they had a very large backyard, being is that they're on the large corner.
Right.
So his dad turned his backyard into a mini dirt biking track, and so that's how our friendship began. And he was an older kid, and, you know, at any young age, you want to hang out with the older kids. So I went over there and I asked, you know, hey, do you mind that I ride on your dirt bike track? And they were very inviting over. And so we started hanging out more regularly. And because he was an older kid, my parents trusted him to be able to watch me when there were no parents around.
Oh, geez.
And so, you know, it simply started as like, oh, I dare you to, you know, ride your dirt bike naked. Right. And, you know, any kid is, I'm going to take that fucking dare. Yeah, fuck you. I can do it.
Right, yeah.
And they don't see
the malice behind it.
Right. And then it turned into, oh, I want to take a photo of you naked on your dirt bike. And then he told me that, oh, we're going to play this game that, you know, young kids do for older kids, and so that, you know, you're more accepted by the older crowd. And he started fondling me. He forced me to fondle him. And then this is not just one day, mind you all. This is an ongoing thing.
Sure.
You know, at the age of eight, it's hard for me to remember exactly how long it went on for.
Sure.
But it went on to full rape, full penetration. He fully raped me. And so, you know, we would spend time at each other's houses more often. And I, you know, I was so, I guess, groomed in a sense to where I was convinced that this is a normal thing.
Right, yeah.
And my parents had had some friends over, and of course I invited my friend over, and our backyard had a very large hill in the backyard, and on the bottom of the hill were a bunch of trees that had pretty good coverage, and he takes me down there and starts raping me again.
Right.
I don't remember how many times exactly it was. I'd say a handful of times where there was full penetration. And my mother is the one that actually caught him doing it.
That's fucked.
And so, you know, she's calling for me in the backyard. She doesn't see me. She goes down the hill, and in a hurry, obviously, he's pulling his pants up, and she's like, "What the fuck are you doing to my kid? Get the fuck out of here." And she's like, "You know, Donna, you need to go into the bathroom and you need to shower, and I'm going to talk to your dad." I'm like, "No, you don't need to tell dad. Like, this is a normal thing. This is what younger kids do for older kids." And she's like, "Just go take a shower, please." And so, like, I showered, and of course I get out of the shower and I throw some clothes on and I go into my bedroom, and my dad comes in and he's like, "So what's this your mom's telling me about the neighbor? What is he doing to you?" And I like tried convincing my dad. I'm like, "No, dad, like, this is a normal thing. Like, this is what younger kids do for older kids." And he's like, "No, dude, that's not how that works. He raped you." I'm like, "What's rape? Like, I don't understand that." Like, I'm 8 years old.
Yeah.
And so my dad's like, "We need to, you know, get the police involved." And I'm like, "No, you're overreacting. Like, this is a normal thing. Like, he's my friend." And my dad told me I could take a few days off work, and any kid was like, "Yeah, sweet, I've got a few days off from school," not realizing that there's like trauma building from this.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, a police officer shows up, and I have to thus explain the story that I just told all of you. And so they go over to their house and talk to the parents. And I remember the dad specifically saying, "Your son is fucking lying. And that stupid bitch talking about my mother doesn't know what the fuck she saw. My kid would never do this."
Jeez.
And so my dad tried taking legal force on it, and nothing ever came of it.
Damn.
The kid got away with it. And that was our final straw that you know, the straw that broke the camel's back, why we ended up moving out of California.
Right.
My mom and dad were already trying to decide, "All right, I think we need to go back to Colorado," and that was it. They're like, "Fuck it, we're out of here."
Damn,
so
dude, that's
they packed up and we moved to Colorado. And throughout that period of, you know, my dad getting a new job, buying a house in Colorado, I went through very extensive therapy. And when we moved to Colorado, my parents couldn't afford to keep me in therapy. So later on in life, as I had become a young adult, I went and got it all, you know, talked about with a therapist and everything like that. And so, you know, I still have trauma around that. Like, I've had ex-girlfriends that, you know, tried sticking a finger in my ass, lose it. I'm like, "Get the fuck away from me. Get the fuck out of my house." And like, you know, becoming an adult, you understand like how fucked up that situation really is.
Oh yeah.
And you know, go ahead, Zach.
Oh no, I was just agreeing with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, it was pretty brutal. And, you know, throughout therapy, you know, I've gotten a lot of help, but, you know, there for the longest time, like I used women, and it was to kind of, as my therapist said, to kind of take the power back.
100%.
Yeah. You know, and like, I was very aggressive in a lot of sexual situations with people, and, you know, it caused a lot of issues. It still does every day.
I'm sure.
You know, like, I don't know. It was to have friends that were older. I as a child, I was always like very weary of having older friends. I was right, like, this is fucked up. Like, you're just gonna do the same thing. And like, anytime I would see a cop, I would just like, fuck that. They're just gonna
not believe me.
Yeah, like, yeah, you know, because men can't get raped, right? That's what society tells us, right? Or makes us right, want to believe.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that's my trauma number three.
Trauma number three. Well, let's go ahead and score that one. See how we can do here. Let's see. We got there are two separate categories for a couple. There are a couple different categories here that can qualify for. So we could give that one molested as a child, 4 to 5. Raped as a separate category.
Oh, okay.
4 to 5 points.
Okay.
So yeah, and also just so you guys know, molested as a child and molested as an adult, different points.
Different points.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so that's there's that. There's a police anything, police episode that comes in there.
Yeah.
I think with the fact that they don't believe you, I was gonna say, just based on the minority of the situation of the, what happened with the police is two, but then with the fact that they just were like, oh yeah, nothing ever happened, is like three,
yeah,
I think for sure. So, and I think we got, since they were essentially completely groomed, we got 5 on the raped. Molested as a child, I think that also goes 5. I think we'll actually give the grooming part to the molested as a child, we'll give that 5, and then we'll give the raped part 5. So it's still the same. So 13 there. And then we've got, what else can we find in here? Oh, actually, now that I think about it, struggling to get help, being dismissed or ignored when asking for help is its own category.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a 3 there. So we're at 16 right now. Yeah, I think that's all I can find on there. 16 points. That is a record-breaking round and a record-breaking potentially game for Delano here.
38 points in total right there.
That is 38 points in total. Our first battle episode, you came up one short. I had 39.
Oh.
Yes, but we also, now that I think about that, that was with 5.
But that was 5 rounds.
That was with 5 rounds, so you came one short with 3 rounds. So yeah. That's pretty gnarly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty gnarly, dude.
Yeah.
So, our ultimate winner here for the day, we've got Delano as champion trauma. Woo-hoo! High five, Delano. Do a high five.
Congrats, or I'm sorry.
Right? Not sure which one.
Lots of therapy has helped me get through, of that. I'm still currently in therapy and will be for...
My ultimate goal with this podcast is that we get a sponsorship from BetterHelp and I can give away a free year of subscription to someone like this.
Yeah.
Just like wins the trauma battle episode. Yeah, right. That's like one of my ultimate goals with
it. That would be awesome.
You win a free year to BetterHelp therapy. Yes. Yeah. That'd be so funny. Well, thank you guys for both participating. Zach, appreciate you coming on the show.
It was nice to meet you, Zach. Thanks for the good battle.
Nice meeting you.
Great. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed that. That was quite a heated battle. Final score, Delano 38. Zach, let me see. I actually don't remember. Hold on. Final score, Zach. Hold on. Zach had 20 points. So 20, 22, 38 in 3 rounds. So that's pretty good. Delano is, he was 1 under the all-time high score, but of course, points per average round, average points per round, he won pretty significantly by a lot. The all-time high score. We've only had 2 of these. But yeah. All-time high score, Delano. Most fucked up life. Hell yeah, dude. That's a fucking trophy. I still want that BetterHelp thing that I was talking about on the final part of the trauma battle. I want that because, and if anybody knows anybody of how I could get a BetterHelp
whatever, you know what I'm talking about. BetterHelp sponsorship in order to give out to the people, the good people of Trauma Battle, let me know. On the same note, anybody who would like to drop their trauma and compete in a trauma battle, let us know. We are on Instagram at Malfunction Junction Podcast, and we are also on email at malfunctionjunctionpodcast@gmail.com. That's really all we got. I appreciate everybody who listens to this show. Thank you so much for listening to this. It keeps us, you know, giving us something to do. And we're very excited to keep doing it, and we're looking forward to getting out as much content as we can, especially over the summer, as this episode, as I record right now, this isn't true, actually. The next episode that we record will be my last episode as a college student. Thank you. I know. Everybody, yeah. I'll keep clapping. I hear it. I'm done. So, I will have much more time to create more things, and I am excited about that. But that is really all we got today, and I hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you guys next time. Thank you from Malfunction Junction Podcast. Goodbye.